Sometimes Neil Gill for breakfast doesn't all fit in between 6 and 9 each morning.
So this is where we put the extra bits. All the bits you may have missed. Neil Gill for breakfast.
The podcast. Anytime you want on Listener.
Thanks for your company on this week's episode of the Triple M Breakfast Podcast. We're going to be catching up with the one and only Mr. Troy Cassar-Daly. He's got his 12th studio album out, and we'll find out what the motivation was behind this album and also have a good chat with him about some tours to the Central West. We'll also have a chat with Keith Packham from the Vintage Car Club of the Central West. He is bringing 100-odd cars that predate 1930 to the Central West. Looking forward to having a chat with him first. But firstly, there was the first house that was built in Molong. It was called the Roundhouse. It was built under Reverend Samuel Marsden for his daughter and her husband, who was one of the Betts family. The house no longer stands, but it was the first significant building in Molong, and I thought we'd find out more about it. And joining me online from the Molong Historical Society, it's Julie Laurie. Julie, where was the Roundhouse located?
It was located on land on the far side of Molong, over the creek. So that was where any first settlement was in Molong. It wasn't where the current township was. And it was well sided up on a hill so that they could see approaching anyone approaching the place. And it was built by Samuel Marsden for his daughter Mary Ellen, who had married a fellow called John Betts.
Okay, now Mary was one of eight kids, and Samuel Marsden, of course, very heavily involved in the Church of England and spreading the word throughout Australia, so and New Zealand, incidentally. But so Mary Marsden and her husband John Betts, they got married, and this house was built for them.
Yes.
What year are we talking approximately?
It was built in approximately 1832. And it was named Vale Head, but it was commonly called the Roundhouse because of its architectural style, which was quite unique. And that was modelled on a house in Sydney. Or there were a couple of places that had a similar design. And I think it was because, you know, it faced out in the room at the end, faced out in several different directions.
Oh, okay. All right. And that would have given a good view to anyone approaching the property. Now, the property itself, how big was it?
Well, Mary Marsden was granted in total 16,000 acres, known as the, pasturing license, and it was 1,600 acres, known as the Molong Run. But the portion of land, 1,280 acres, was closest to the township of Molong. And she was granted that in 1832.
Was it unusual, I wonder, at that time for ladies to be granted such big parcels of land?
No, it wasn't unusual, and it was very interesting. If you were the daughter of a parson, you were often granted land because I guess you didn't have means to support yourself. And it was also to encourage free settlers. Mm. So, yes, they were granted quite a considerable amount of land. And, of course, Samuel Marsden ended up owning large swathes of land and was very significant in the pastoral industry.
Yeah, okay. Now, the information session, it's coming up this Sunday. We should let listeners know, though. They're going, oh, which house is it? It's no longer standing, unfortunately.
Yes, unfortunately, it was destroyed in the late 1970s. There was a bit of a fear of a lot of people used to go up there. Local kids all used to go up there and play around. It had a cellar, and the people who owned it thought it was a hazard or a safety issue. And unbeknownst to them, it did have a heritage listing on it. So very sadly, it was destroyed.
Absolutely. But there's still plenty of images captured of the house, and they're going to be discussed
so
in detail.
Because of its significance, we have a collection of photographs and also artwork of it. The late Annie Ingham did a pen and ink drawing of it. So we have several artworks and also a lovely old photograph of it. And Mark Root from Orange, in 1969 or 68, had done a wonderful collagraph of the Roundhouse, and he's actually coming out to speak about his journey of creating this collagraph, which is like a collage photograph, if I can explain it that simply.
Yeah, right. Now, it's all happening this Sunday at 1:30. Where's it at?
At the Molong Museum. And the cost is $10, and a beautiful afternoon tea will be served, and we'll just have a fairly informal information afternoon, and we welcome anybody who would like to come and hear all about the Betts and the Roundhouse.
I could only assume there'd be Betts family members still in and around the region.
Yes, they certainly are, and it's quite interesting because we've just identified what we thought was a photo of a business in Molong, but it turns out that that business actually was in Anson Street, and we have a lovely photograph of H.C. Betts's business in Anson Street. So we have a collection of photographs of the Betts family, along with a very, very early self-portrait that Mary Ellen did at Vale Head that was done in about 1837. And that's held in the State Library. So, yes. So there's still Betts families around, and, of course, we have Betts Street in Molong.
Yeah, of course. I just love that our history is so, so very close, and what a shame this house no longer stands. I'm with Julie Laurie, the Molong Historical Society and Molong Museum, this Sunday, the 5th of May, commencing at 1:30 p.m. Nice to chat with you this morning, Julie. Thanks for the information.
And we look forward to seeing any guests who'd like to come and join us. Thank you so much.
Neil Gill for Breakfast.
The podcast.
Coming up now on this week's episode, we're going to be catching up with Keith Packham from the Central Tablelands Vintage Car Club. There are over 100 pre-1930 motor vehicles coming to Orange this weekend, and no doubt you'll see them. It will be quite a spectacle as they're touring around our roads this weekend. And I thought we'd find out more about it. Keith Packham's online. Keith, how many cars are actually coming?
We've got about 115.
Wow.
Neil, and these are all, the newest of them can be 1930.
Okay.
Some of the real old early models. Yeah, it's a thing that we run every 2 years in Orange, and then it goes to various other clubs in the area, Parks, Cowra, and Dubbo.
Okay.
And then, so it's every 2 years in Orange and been going since 2005. And,
So pre-1930, what sort of car have you got?
We've got two. We've got the old 1927 Chev, which is old wooden spoke wheels and the canvas roof, that sort of a one.
Yeah.
And we've got a 1930 Buick, and it's a coupe.
Wow.
With the, spare wheels in the mud guard and that sort of thing.
Yeah, right. Okay. Wow. Yeah, fantastic.
Wire spoke wheels and all that stuff. And it's one of those, it's probably not environmentally friendly nowadays. needs a drink.
Yeah, I bet it does. I bet it does.
It really slurps up the petrol. It does. But anyway, you don't do massive miles, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's part of it. Yeah, so there's a lot of them. They're coming from all over, Neil, down. We've even got an entry from Victoria. Even one from South Australia. But some of these fellas do a little trip around, they'll make it sort of their, call it a holiday system.
Yep, sure.
Follow through, yes.
So you're going for some tours around?
Having a couple of trips in Orange. Friday, we'll book in on Thursday. We've got a little club room up at the old Harness Racing Track up near the go-kart track in Orange.
Right.
Yeah, we book in up there, and then on Friday we go down to Bathurst to Abercrombie House, and Mr. Morgan down there is going to give us a meal and all sorts of things and show through the place. And then on the Saturday, then we have a Friday night down at the showground at the Naylor Pavilion. It could be a bit cool down there, so we're going to have to do something about to warm it up, and I don't know how you do that one. But anyway, that's another story. And then on Saturday, we've got a run with the steam train fellas to Blaney and back.
Oh, yes, I did see that. The Lachlan Valley Railway
run that one. Yeah, they run out of Orange.
Yeah.
And out to the field day site for a lunch. And then runs around in the afternoon. It's a free afternoon. They'll go out to, round to the lake and out to Lucknow and just round.
Yeah.
And then we have an evening meal at the Ex Services Club on Saturday Saturday evening. And after that, they have another little breakfast on the Sunday morning. Then I'll run on home and save up for the next one.
Fantastic. Now, so if people from Thursday onwards see these old cars getting about town and obviously convoys of them heading out to different places, this is what it's all about.
Yes. If people wanted to have a look, they can they'll be up at the Old Harness Racing Track on and off. We'll be there on Thursday, but they won't all be there. Mm. Mainly in the afternoon. Probably the better time would be they'll all be away for a couple of hours. Well, the people will be on the train run, and they'll be mostly just parked in the railway car park.
Ah, yep. Okay, so that's on Saturday. Yeah.
That's on Saturday, yes.
Yeah, okay, fantastic. If you want to go and check out 115 pre-1930 vehicles, they're all going to be here in town from this Thursday onwards and touring about, as we said. And sounds like a full schedule you got planned.
Full schedule, mate, yes. Yeah, it takes a bit of, just got to take it all sorted out and get all the various catering places organised and sorted out. Rotary Club are doing our lunch on at the Naylor Pavilion. Boronor CWA ladies are doing the one out at Field Day site, and Orange X Services Club are doing the night meal. Yeah,
fantastic.
And then we just put on ourselves, just morning teas and things for the people as they go. That's just tea and coffee and biscuits and stuff.
Yep, fantastic. All right,
ladies. Some of the girls will make a few nice little homemade cakes and cookies and things.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
Keith Packham's with me, ladies and gentlemen, from the Central Tablelands Historic Car Club. Keith, mate, I'm sure you'll have an enjoyable weekend with all your colleagues in this pre-1930 vehicle car club, mate. Enjoy it. It'll be huge.
Well, thank you very much, Neil. Thanks for calling, and we'll catch up somewhere along the way.
Neil Gill for breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 6
on Orange and the Central West's 105.1 Triple M. This is the podcast edition.
Our final guest on this week's episode is country music sensation, the one and only Mr. Troy Cassadaly. He has his 12th studio album out, and it is called Between the Fires. Troy, this album seems like a very, very spiritual and deep journey for you.
Oh, mate, it is a deep run, and I warn people now, it's going to be a big drive in that old car. This one, like when we get down, we're playing around like Bathurst and stuff like that, so I can't wait to bring the new record about. We're going to probably include about 5 songs from the new record in the set as well, and great to be able to get such a monumental talent like Tamika Kennedy coming through with us and playing some shows too, because I just think she's an incredible talent. And look, Slim dragged our sorry backsides around the place, helping us and encouraging us and that as well. I think it's only up to us now to probably try and do the same, mate.
Yeah, well, that's a great way to. And Tamika, I mean, people will have taken her for granted, seeing her playing in a pub in Bathurst or Orange somewhere, going, oh, yeah, she's pretty good, that girl, but she is next level when it comes to performers.
Oh, look, mate, I got exposed to her through my daughter, Jem, and she was at the college out at Tamworth and as one of the mentors. And she said, I just can't believe how many gigs Tamika does. And I just went, look, I started to then follow what she was up to. And when I went through with Mossy on the year we were touring with the acoustic thing, you may have come and had a look at, she was playing at a pub across the road when we were having a feed. So I went across and had a listen, and I went, wow, this kid's amazing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's up to us to make sure that we just give that a little bit more of a nudge of encouragement, in front of our audience as well. And she's going to get up and have a jam in the middle of my set as well on the guitar, which I can't wait for. And, you know, this, like you said about the record, yeah, it's a spiritual dive, mate, but it's part of life. I think when you start losing your parents, it's a little bit about how to cope on the way through that, and it might throw a bit of light on things for people on the way through this record.
Yeah, well, you've written 12 of the 15 tracks on it. So was a bit of a cathartic experience for you?
Oh, it really was, Neil. Gee whiz. I mean, sitting at a fire at my late mum's place and then having this big epiphany that, hey, I'm going to record this record there. And I think the record sounds like it's been done in a studio, but you wouldn't know there were leads running through my childhood, my bedroom and into the lounge room and even out in the dunny. We had an amp out in the dunny, and it was really like, I thought, what have I done? When we started setting up all the gear, I thought, have I bitten off a bit more than I could chew? But as you can hear by the way the songs have come up, I think it's a real credit to all the gear that the boys brought in and the love and attention they gave all these songs so far. So we can't wait to share it with everyone in the Central West.
Yeah, fantastic. Between the Fires, ladies and gentlemen, once again, it is out May 10. Mate, your 12th album, studio album, is it?
Yes.
So that's a fairly impressive list of music that you put together over your time. Discography, I believe they call it.
Well, is that what they call it, Neil? I still call it records.
I noticed that.
I don't know. I still say new record. I'm a bit old-fashioned, but I do think it's a bit of a journey of your own life. And, you know, like when Banjo Paterson was writing poems, you talk about a shearer's strike, for instance. That was actually happening in his life around him. And I reckon it's interesting to see how that works. Slim did the same. And I think what we're doing is we're just documenting things on our way through in life as well. And I think it's a great way to write songs. And I'm actually nominated recently for a song that I wrote with Ian Moss called Nullarbor Plain. And it's funny, when you write for someone else, Neil, your whole persona has to change because you've got to be Ian Moss for about 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, and right.
that's a bit of a challenge too, because, you know, he's a different sort of a writer to me. So we got a chance to collaborate, and we're nominated this week for APRA Song of the Year for Most Performed Rock Song. So we're really proud of that too.
Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, he will be in the Central West June 13. Good morning, Gulgong. You'll be able to catch my guest, Troy Cassidaly, there. June 14 in Bathurst and June 15 in Dubbo. You've got the Central West covered well and truly. Mate, it's always a pleasure to chat. Thanks for your time this morning.
Hey, Neil, and thanks for the support. I appreciate it, mate.
Neil Gill for breakfast.
Anytime you want on Listener.
And that concludes this week's episode of the Triple M Breakfast Podcast. Don't forget you can catch me weekday mornings from 6 a.m. on Orange and the Central West's 105.1 Triple M, or next week back here on the Listener app.
Neil Gill for breakfast.
Anytime you want on Listener.
And 6 to 9 weekdays on Orange and the Central West's 105.1 Triple M.